All right. Hello, you guys. Welcome to episode 6 of the Untamed Terrain podcast. I'm Tommy.
And I'm Laurie.
And today we're kind of covering how we are transitioning our professional lives into personal business and what that looks like and how we're involving our kids, and because ultimately it does affect everyone else around you, not just the decisions that you and I make together in mm-hmm. our professional lives. It affects our children and their schedules and their musical schedules, their baseball schedules, their school schedules. And so we have a lot to kind of balance when it comes to creating business on our own and creating a business on our own. This will be our second, we'll get to the ranch here in a minute, but it'll be our second business that we've started since we've been together. And it's definitely not negatively affected our family, but it's changed the dynamic of how we do things in our scheduling and the decisions that we have to make when it comes to doing and having events for our businesses.
Absolutely. Before we launch into, our big, I guess it would be an announcement, our big endeavor.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about our origins as far as the balance of work and family.
Right.
And I will start off because I have a remarkably unremarkable business history. I actually, as I've mentioned in a previous episode, I was married very young. I was married at 19. Mm-hmm. I actually had a very promising career at that age. I worked for the Internal Revenue Service, and yeah. I loved that job, and I was really good at it. I was a tax examiner, but there was a lot of room for growth, and I was poised for it. And then I ended up pregnant. And I was really, really sick with my first pregnancy. I had HGV. Is that? Anyway, it was that. I had constant morning sickness. And, I at the time was not a very big girl, but I ended up losing like 17 pounds my first trimester. It was bad. I mean, even my OBGYN didn't want me to have any more children, but I was too young for him to stop that. But because of that, I was on bed rest for most of my pregnancy, and then went from, having this potentially promising career to being a stay-at-home mom. And yeah. I was a stay-at-home mom for the next 19 years.
Yeah.
So, I raised my 4 kids and didn't go back to work until my youngest was in second grade, and she was in school full-time. And, at that point in time, we've talked about social media. That's when she got her cell phone, but it was to keep tabs on her. She got a little watch, and she could call me or she could call her dad, but that was it. There was no social media. But I started doing accounting. I had done it off and on, but my primary job was being a mom. And started doing accounting, and that's what I've been doing ever since. So I've really only had a out-of-home career for, I think I'm going in my 5th year now.
Yeah.
But I've been an accountant. I've, done that whole thing.
Right. And, obviously we're opposite in our career paths. I was working from the time I was 16, having a summer job so that I could play baseball in the afternoon. And that summer job was construction. My family, most of my uncles were all into some form of construction. My dad's been doing concrete work since he was 16, and just retired a couple years ago after teaching at the trade school here in Phoenix for a few years. So that was his final gig in construction, but he's still involved and still can't sit still. And so my path kind of went into construction. I started as an electrician in the summers, or I was a laborer. I dug trenches basically for the electricians, but I learned how to do all of that, and it carried on into traffic signal and streetlight work. And I was a foreman right away. I was always good at what I did when it came to knowing how to put things together. And as I got further down the line, kind of into my mid-20s, I was like, I don't want to be in construction my whole life like my family was. I want something different. An opportunity opened up at Home Depot. I actually was working there as a second job, so I'd get up at 4 in the morning, work all day, go work at Home Depot from 6 p.m. to 11, and I started to like it. And so I worked at Home Depot for about 5 years. I got out of the field because at the time they were paying equivalent to what contractors were paying, which was nice. And I went into project management after a while with an event company. We worked on the Phoenix Open. And that led into 12 years in the restaurant business. That's a sharp left turn. Yeah, I was having lunch one day and I was like, you know what, this job is just, it's too demanding. I was traveling, I was on planes, I was at events. And unfortunately at the time I wasn't married. I just got divorced from my first wife. So it really didn't matter, but it was wearing on me.
Mm-hmm. No kids at this point.
No kids at that point. So. And you know, for a late 20-year-old is probably a dream job because you can go out, you go to these events, you can drink all night, have fun. I was just like, man, I'm exhausted. I don't want to do this anymore. And not that the restaurant business was any better, but I happened to be sitting down at PF Chang's having lunch and then ask if they were hiring. Cause I just wanted out. I wanted completely.
You needed
out.
Something different. Yeah. And that happens mm-hmm. in careers. I mean, yeah. I think the average career now lasts like 3 to 5 years and then you pivot. And it's just a sign of the times that we get bored. Maybe that's mm-hmm. social media's problem, but we get bored easily and we need to change things. So you totally took a left turn, went to a restaurant, worked mm-hmm. there for a while, right?
Yeah. It took 12 years to get out of it because within 6 months I was training people. Within 9 months I was asked to be a manager, and that led into a completely different life. And something else that we'll talk about, you know, it fed the opportunity for bad decisions as well. But getting out of that and transitioning back into construction was the best thing ever because I had the management experience of 11 years of managing a restaurant, multi-million dollar a month business for each location. And coming back into construction, and kind of I was able to take a sense of ownership into my job in construction, whereas before I was the laborer. I was the go-to man. Yeah, I had an ownership as each individual project as a foreman, but it led into really taking ownership into people's lives, how I did my job and how it affected them. And throughout that whole time, there was always this sense in the back of my head, I should be doing this for myself. And I always felt like, for those of you that are on the fence of, can I take this leap? Yeah, why not? Do it when you're young enough, because doing it now isn't hard. It's great. We have all the insight that from the experience that we had, mm-hmm. but being able to jump into something and make a mistake, a calculated mistake, then it makes it a lot easier for you to grow your business.
Right. So before we go into you know what happened next mm-hmm. after you got into the construction field again, I want to kind of talk about the family dynamic mm-hmm. with the career paths, if you will, that we were both on.
Yeah.
So obviously with mine, it's, you couldn't be more different than yours. You were right. working, I was at home. And so I just kind of want to weigh in because I know that we're going to have listeners and watchers who, you know, there's going to be some stay-at-home moms and there's going to be some career moms. There may be some stay-at-home dads and there may be career dads, and there may be some of you out there that are really struggling to balance the family and the career aspect of things. And, you know, we have experience, you know, in trying to make it work. And, you know, that's kind of why we're bringing this episode to light, is it's not always easy to balance the two. So, I know that your career was heavily dictated by that balance of time with mm-hmm. your family. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then I'll talk about my experience as a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, early on in my first marriage, obviously there were no kids. So I worked a pretty standard schedule. It was easy. You get up at early in the morning, you're home early in the afternoon.
And your wife worked too. Yeah, she was going to school as well, right?
She was going to school, which is part of the reason I got out of college at the time was like, you know, I think we talked about it in an earlier episode, you know, my friends were making $23,000 a year as teacher and I was making 30 in construction right away. So it was an easy decision for me to make at the time mm-hmm. to like, all right, I'm going to work, you do your thing, and then we'll flip roles. Obviously that marriage didn't work out. So we get into having a family and balancing work. And my family started when I was working in the restaurant. So it was great when the kids were young because I was there.
How long had you been in the restaurant industry before you guys started a family?
Let's see, that was 97. It was 2007. I started in 2000. So it had been, I'd been in the restaurant business 7 years already.
Okay.
And so when the twins were born, I was already managing. We were in California. And it was easy because I said, all right, look, and all the other managers were as happy as they can be about this because I could work the 4 p.m. to midnight schedule. Mm-hmm. I was the closer. And that way, like, my kid's mom could work at the architectural firm that she worked at during the day. So I was able to get up, take my kids for a walk down to Venice on Main Street in Santa Monica every morning and get them back and forth. It worked well. Mm-hmm. And then once we got into the kids going to school, I started to miss out on a lot of the events that they had with school. I was gone on the weekends and gone at nights. So it put a lot of pressure on the stay-at-home mom for them to handle a majority of the events. And for me, it put some guilt, started to build that guilt complex that I struggle with so much, is that I'm not always there for them. I'm not always, so, you know, kids kept coming. Mm-hmm. Yes. And after the fourth one was born, I decided that, all right, I got to do something different because this isn't working for me being there for them at the critical times that I need to be, which was in the evenings and on the weekends. You know, I had to get back into that normal schedule.
Yeah.
And so.
So I want to ask a little bit mm-hmm. about that because, you know, you stayed in the restaurant industry for another 4 years.
Another 5 years.
5 years after after your kids started coming. And then you decided that you needed to change. You had cited that, you know, you felt guilty because you were missing a lot. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's a lot of dads and probably moms who work who are feeling that same thing.
Exactly.
That because of the paycheck, you're missing out on your child's life. And you know, we're not digging dirt here. But was there expectation also from the kid's mom about you're not there enough? Was there any stress about you not being there on the marriage?
Yes, it definitely, because, you know, I'd get home late at night, get up in the morning and struggle to get the kids off to school. And it was a huge strain on our relationship because our schedules were so off.
So there was probably a lack of communication
and
quality time because of your demanding and offsetting schedules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it made a huge difference in, I don't want to say made a huge difference, but it made a big difference in going back to a normal schedule and being able to work on events and things with the kids together. I don't want to say it helped fix our marriage, but it was a little bit of a relief. Unfortunately, when I did go into that 9-to-5, I had to travel a little bit. So it turned out to make things even worse on the communication front because I was gone Monday through Friday completely,
right,
for about 2 months before we came back to Phoenix. But I think not having that communication piece and talking to your partner about, all right, here's what's going to happen when I go into this job, and here are the expectations, and not setting those ground rules, which we come back to so much. If you get to a point where you're in a career change or your spouse is going through career change, you guys, I think for you and I probably would do this, and we have done it. How is that going to look, and how is that going to affect your schedule? How is it going to affect my schedule? How is it going to affect our time with the kids? We've gotten to a point to where we can be like, all right, we talked about this before we made the leap, and there's no guilt or there's no resentment from the other side on your decision, on because you made that decision together.
Right.
And so for you, when you went into your career and it was late in your second marriage and you obviously split up at that time, what was it like going from being a stay-at-home mom to working and then having to do it all on your own?
You know, it's an interesting question. I've actually had a conversation, you know, my two older boys are of the age where they're starting to, you know, plan their lives. They're adults. And, you know, my 22-year-old is engaged, sort of. He's sort of engaged.
That's another episode.
And then, you know, my 19-year-old is deciding, you know, what he wants to do. And, you know, he and I had an interesting conversation where, you know, he was telling me how he wanted a wife who was just happy to be at home, mm-hmm. and he would take care of her as long as she was happy to be at home. And, you know, I had that experience as a stay-at-home mom, and a lot of that was born of, you know, growing up LDS and being married in the LDS temple for my first marriage. Women were meant to stay at home. Like, their mm-hmm. sense of pride and their sense of duty and their contribution to society was to raise children. But not all women are cut out to be like that. Not all women aspire to be that way. And I'm not saying that there should, that there's any right answer. You know, my experience in the church, if it's taught me anything, it's you need to find what your right answer is and then stop denying it. Because if you deny what you're supposed to be, if you deny your ambition and your goal, you're setting everybody else up to fail, right? And that's a big, important thing to realize in life is, you know, am I being true to who my best self is?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as we've talked about, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was really ambitious when I was younger. And I realized after I had my second son that I didn't want to be barefoot and pregnant my whole life. And, you know, there was the guilt side of it, which I talked about in a previous episode. But there's also the fact that something was missing in my life. That not that there's nothing, that there's anything ignoble about being a stay-at-home mom. But for me, it wasn't what I wanted. It was not what I ever aspired to. I wanted to have a career since I was a little girl. What that career was changed. I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a teacher, and then I wanted to be an American gladiator, and then I wanted to be a doctor. it changed a lot, but I wanted to have a career. And, you know, the acknowledgement that that's what I needed, it came at the expense of my marriage, because I knew that what he wanted and what I wanted were not the same, and that we would compromise and one of us was going to be happy and one of us wasn't going to be. And that to me didn't seem fair to either of us or to our children, you know? So it wasn't, you know, anything terrible that split us up. It was just having different paths, you know? And that kind of goes back to what you were saying, which we'll cover later, about putting all the cards on the table about who you are. Anyway, so I was a stay-at-home mom, and then when I got into my second marriage, there was a long drawn out custody battle for my first set of kids, and we won't go into that right now, but I felt like being a stay-at-home mom was the best option.
Right.
And then as I had my daughter, I realized that I didn't really want anybody else raising my kids. So even though I had ambition to be bigger, I had a bigger ambition than being a stay-at-home mom, I didn't want somebody else to be choosing what she was going to be raised with, what her values were going to be. And I didn't want her to think that she wasn't worth my time when I had raised her older brothers. So it wasn't until, as you pointed out, I decided that I needed to get out of my second marriage and didn't want to have to rely on him for child support or alimony, that I needed to do it alone, that I actually pursued my career. And, you know, I worked out of the home for the first year of being a working mom. And it was good. Like, I had set it up so that, you know, the kids knew what to do. They were a little bit older. So, you know, and they had friends in the neighborhood that they could hang out with, and they had ways to communicate with us. But I felt really fulfilled. And, you know, drawing back to the conversation I had with my son, one of the things I had noticed about women who put away their ambitions to be a stay-at-home mom when it was against what they really wanted to do, they ended up getting bored, and they ended up finding their entertainment and their joy and their sense of self-worth in other ways that perhaps weren't best for their families or their marriages. You know, they'd end up, you know, liking the pool boy, or, you know, catching feels for the gardener, and, you know, finding a high school sweetheart that suddenly paid them the attention that they were missing. And they would pursue these avenues that were ultimately detrimental to the family, you know, and that's part of the reason that I so champion, find out what you want in life and do it. Find a way to make it work, because you're not serving anybody if you're not serving yourself first. Anyway, so I worked out of the house at an office for the first year, and then we got hit by that wonderful worldwide phenomenon that happened in 2020, and I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want anybody casting their judgments, but I went remote, and it was good because at that point in time, I was a single mom. My kids were 13 and 10, and, well, actually, they were 12 and 9 when I first became a single mom. And these are my older kids. And we were navigating kind of a big change in our lives. So I was able to work from home, and I was able to be there when they went to school and be there when they got home. And it worked really well. And I've been remote ever since. But, you know, you had a pivot in your life. I had a pivot in mine, and my pivot came about 6 to 8 months ago when I realized that my job was sucking my soul dry. I was good at what I was doing, but I was losing my passion.
Yeah.
And so we, and it's kind of funny because, you know, we, I think it was it right before we got married that you decided to walk away and become self-employed? Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting the biggest promotion I ever had.
Yeah, I actually got recruited to go work for a large company, and that lasted, what, you know, you were there, it was about 6 months, 7 months.
And then they caught the layoff bug, yeah, like everybody else. Bug,
and I was the only contractor in the group. And so then we really had to, I had to go out and be self-employed through being contracted. And that's kind of when our first quote unquote business started. Mm-hmm. And so, but we talked about that. We figured out what we needed and how it was going to work and how it was going to look. And it worked out pretty well
because it was
we
a were strain, both on board.
Yeah, it was a huge strain. I know that you at the time had to go through a majority of your savings to keep us afloat, which we talked about and we knew it was going to happen, but it was still came as a, like an, oh crap moment. You know, are we going to survive this? And it's not our marriage, but are we going to survive this, you know, financially?
Yeah.
Because it was stressful. It was hard.
And you know what? Money is one of the biggest stressors that leads to divorce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us to have only been married for 4 months when that happened and was rough.
Being able to run our lives as business owners, per se, and not having that experience was a
learning curve.
Yeah, it was a huge learning curve.
Yeah.
And we're getting to that point now where it's like, all right, here are the results of that learning curve. We're having to dive back in and make a lot of changes.
So we did something big, and you know, we're running out of time on this. So we're just going to do a slight introduction of it. The bug hit me a few years ago, and it's only getting stronger, that I needed to buy land. We needed to have something. We needed to have our place of earth, because it's the only asset that continues to appreciate in value. And it's because it's a finite resource. They're not making more land.
Right.
And big businesses are buying it, and it's hard to come by. So I knew we needed to buy land. Mm-hmm. And so
we went on the search for about the last 5 months.
Yeah.
Actually put a bid in on a place, which we're glad we lost.
Yeah.
And just a few weeks.
Do your due diligence, man.
So, and that was part of the learning curve of doing things, is like, all right, let's figure out why no one's buying this or why it's less expensive than the others. So anyway, we dodged that bullet, but we found in the process, we went back up and did a little tour of Northern Arizona again for a few properties. And we kind of came across this property by accident, because it was sent to us by accident. And it turns out that we loved it. We put a bid on it, I think $4,000 less than what they were asking, and accepted. And here we are.
We've got 40 acres now in Northern Arizona. Mm-hmm. And we're going back to doing something that, you know, when I was a good Mormon girl, we were kind of taught, be self-sufficient, you know. And so, you know, it's funny because I picked up a lot of skills as a Mormon mom. Canning, right? Which my second husband hated, because he felt like canning and growing your own food and being self-sufficient was a sign of being a pauper. Not that he was growing up with a silver spoon in his mouth, but that we were poor if we were canning. But, you know, I've been able to, you know, fall back in love with that. Yeah. And so having this land that is absolutely off grid, there are no utilities there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of opened up a new adventure to us, and we've got huge plans for this ranch. I'm going to invite you, if you're interested in finding out how two city slickers build a homestead, to follow us. We're on Instagram at Nine Trails Ranch, and we are putting our website together now. There's going to be merch, and eventually it's going to be agritourism. We're going to have some cabins up there that we can rent out. We'll be doing retreats.
Yeah, each 9 kids got their own 1 acre plot, so there will be a cabin on each acre that'll be rented out. We plan to have an acre and a half pond there, so we can stock it and do some fishing on site. We're gonna have orchards, bees, a giant garden, kind of make it a full experience for us, especially, but for those who want to come up and enjoy the fruits of our labor and just get away from the city and
yeah,
do their own thing.
Unplug. Because, you know, as we talked about in a previous episode, we got our kids up there to explore the land, and it was so good for them, and it was good for the family dynamic. And, you know, kids need that. They need the sunlight. They need to get out and work with their hands and do something. So, you know, we wanted to open it up not just for us so that our kids have a legacy, but so that other people can have that same experience, so that they can take their kids up and teach them how to light a campfire with flint and steel and you know, see bees in action, you know, and be able to harvest food and be able to pluck apples off the trees, you know, get back to that natural life and kind of commune with earth again.
Yeah, we're hoping some of the other carriers kind of drag their feet and getting coverage up there, but ours has coverage. And
which is good because I still work remote.
But the creature comforts are there, the basic creature comforts, you know, you'll have a toilet, you'll have water.
Eventually.
But
right now it's kind of rusted.
We're getting there. and we'll have solar built in. But once we start, this is the end product. This is what, you know, you'll see at the end product, which is going to be a few years in the making. So we're super excited about it.
Yeah. And we just wanted to share with you kind of like the evolution of family relationships and careers and, you know, how important it is to be supportive and to learn as you go and learn from your mistakes, which we've both done. And to be able to share that information with other people and to make your life better and more fulfilling.
And to make that business venture involve our kids. That was the biggest thing. And we talked about balancing the two of starting a life and a business together. And then how are our kids going to be affected by it? And luckily we found something that can involve them from inception to whatever they do with it after we're long gone.
Yeah.
And we hope that we set the ground floor for that. And
even the princess is excited, which is saying a lot. Well, thank you so much for joining us for episode 6 as we talk about balancing your career and your life and your family. And we're excited to, you know, share more about our ranch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be a big part of the podcast as we learn and grow from that. And we'll share that.
You'll be able to follow along on the Nine Trails Ranch YouTube channel once we get that up and running completely on building from the ground up and what this place had and how it takes shape and what are all different events that we'll be hosting there as we grow.
And hopefully we've inspired you to get out and do something that's maybe a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. Expand your horizons. And
we'll talk about it more, but make those decisions early in life. Make it calculated, and then you'll be happy you did.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys follow us here at untamedterrainpod.com, and our email is at untamedterrainpod@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you would just want to follow along and kind of give us some feedback, we'll appreciate it.
Hit the subscribe button so you don't miss the next episode.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.